do need your prayers tonight as I stand before you. Appreciate the sweet prayer that's already been offered. If you have your Bibles and would like to turn with me, I'd like to read to you tonight from the writings of the book of Matthew to begin with. The book of Matthew. And I think I might be able to help myself a little.
The button on the side here.
I just turned it on. Matthew chapter 9, and we'll begin reading at verse 20. Matthew chapter 9, beginning at verse 20. There's really three verses here that are given to us about this little sister that the Bible tells us about in two other places, and we'll look at that also. This is the woman that had an issue of blood that the Lord came to see and heal as he was traveling from the house of Matthew to the house of Jairus, who was a ruler of the synagogue. And Jairus' daughter was even now at the point of death and actually died before the Lord got to the house of Jairus. But as he traveled that way, this little sister came to the Lord because she had a great need, and the Lord had given her a great understanding of his power and his ability. And so she had come to see the Lord as a great physician to help her with the issue of blood that was actually uncurable by the hands of men. Men were not able to heal her or to help her. This account gives us three verses in regard to that. We'll read another place in the scripture where we have 10 verses, and another place where we have 6 verses. And those three places all together give us a complete picture. I love the way the Gospels do that. It's important to read all the accounts that are given in the Bible on any given account so that you might get a fuller picture, a complete picture of what took place in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. We've said this before, but I think it's also important for us to realize that if all the things that Jesus did in this world were recorded, the books could not have contained them. All the things that even should have been written or could have been written about the Lord and what he did while he was here in this world, the world would not be able to hold the books that could have been written about all that the Lord did. And to think about the Holy Spirit and what he's given us in the Bible. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. God has moved men to write and pin down what we have in this book. And here in this Bible, he's given us that which truly furnishes us, that which we need to know about in this world. And so when we're looking at the Bible, you're looking at a very, very special book indeed. You're not looking at a book like other books. You're not looking at something that just came from the hands of men. Though men wrote it, they were moved by God to write it. And there were many things that could have been written about the life of Jesus. Many things that could have been written about the accounts of the Old Testament and the New Testament. Many words of instruction that could have been given to us. And yet, sermons after sermons after sermons have been preached in this world from this book that the Lord divinely inspired and gave to us. If anyone tries to cause you to be doubtful about the Bible and about what's in the Bible, you want to be aware of that, because this is where we go for our rule of faith and practice. This is where we go to find out what's right and what's wrong and what we ought to be doing and what we ought not be doing. We had a wonderful sermon preached this afternoon about even that which is fair and that which is not fair, and that which is right and that which is just. And our view of that is not like God's view. Sometimes our thoughts about that, when we go to the Bible, we can clearly see that our ways are not his ways and our thoughts are not his thoughts. And there's a broad way, which we heard about also, that leads to destruction. But there's a straight and narrow way that we want to be in and walking in as God's children, that leads to life. And it's not eternal heaven that we're trying to get to by walking in the broad and the narrow way, but it's the abundant life, the joy and the peace and the rest that we find when we walk as God's little children in a way that's pleasing to Him. I want to be pleasing to the Lord tonight. I want to be pleasing in my life to God. I want to walk in a way that God is pleased, or God in a way that He has told me to walk. Because I know really that's my obligation as a little child of God, but it's also the best thing for me. You know, the wonderful thing about the Lord, if you do what He tells you, it's not only our duty and responsibility to do that, but it's the best thing we could do. God knows about us better than we know. God knows how we ought to live better than we know how we ought to live. God knows what we ought to be doing, what we ought not be doing. There isn't anything that God has ever commanded His children that was not good for them. All things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. We know that God would never direct us in an area or in a way that would be harmful or detrimental to us. It may not be comfortable always. Sometimes it's not comfortable. I don't imagine Daniel would have wanted to go through a den of lions, but he sure had a wonderful experience in that, didn't he? And I don't think three Hebrew children would have chosen, oh, let me go into a fiery furnace. I think they would have probably tried to avoid that. And yet God had a deliverance for them that required them to be in that position. And I don't think the disciples necessarily would have chosen to have to spend all night battling a storm on the sea, but they were not able to see Jesus walk on the water unless they'd been in the storm. They would have never had the wonderful privilege that Brother Peter had of even walking on the water if it has not been for the storm. And so we know that the Lord knows we're in a world full of trouble. I hope we figured that out too. God knows it. God knows about the trouble that you've seen and the problems that you face. And God has the answers. He is the answer, and He's given us the answers. And He's also given us the Word of God as a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path to help you know about what you need to know. And then He's chosen what men call foolishness, the foolishness of preaching, to save them, deliver them that believe. So tonight, as we sit together, we listen to the Bible, what it says. It can help us a great deal in our daily lives, in our walk with the Lord, and in enjoying our life and living in peace and rest, knowing what the Lord has done for us. And when we take what He's written and treasure it, that's really what I want to say. What He's given you in Matthew, and what He's given you in Mark, and what He's given you in Luke, and what He's given you in John are very special accounts. It's not just haphazardly. You know, sometimes we write what we're thinking about. Some of it's good and some of it's not so good. We write down, you know, I've been trying to send accurate information by email about Brother Stan's condition, and I'll read it over a bunch of, listen, OCD works with me. I read it over this way, and then I think, what are they going to read when they read that? Because, you know, when you tell about somebody being sick, they're either, you can come away with the idea they are completely well or they're dying. And, you know, and it's hard to get the accurate information out if you're not very, very careful. You see, the writers of the Bible were moved by God to pin down exactly what was needed. Not one word more, not one word less. And so the accounts given to you of the Bible, there are many other accounts of sisters, no doubt, that Jesus healed that we don't have record of. There are many other accounts that could have been written about Him and the miracles of deliverance and throughout the Scripture. But we don't have necessarily records for, we don't have the record of that. But listen, everything we need to know. And sometimes I go like, I wish I could know more about this and know more about that. Everything I need to know is given. And that's a great settle. Yeah, you know, isn't that, sometimes you go to the doctor and you find out some information, but you go like, oh, I wish I'd have asked that question. I wish I'd have come away with this. I wish I'd have learned a little more about this or about that. And sometimes you wish they'd have given you some more information. Sometimes you wish you hadn't given you that much. Sometimes they give you more than I want to know about what's going on. Just give me the pill that's going to help me. I don't need to need all the other stuff. In the Bible, you have the exact medication that you need. In the Bible, you have the exact instruction that you need. In the Bible, you have a sufficient supply of encouragement, a sufficient supply of correction, a sufficient supply of reproof. And when the Lord blesses the foolishness of preaching, which the world calls foolish, not foolish preaching, but preaching that is done in power And in demonstration of the Spirit by the power of Almighty God, when the Lord blesses that to happen, it's a very, very special, wonderful event that happens in this world. John equated it, and Jesus equated it, to the same as having the blind having their eyes open. When John the Baptist was about to be beheaded, and he was in prison, and he asked the Lord, "Art thou the Christ? Art thou the Messiah? Or should we look for another?" And you see, Brother John the Baptist, who baptized Jesus, had gotten into a place of doubt and fear because things weren't working out like he thought they ought to work out. Look, I told the truth. I preached the truth. I laid it out just right. And what did I get? Here I am in prison. My life is about to be taken. And indeed it was. He wasn't delivered out of that prison. His head was brought in on a charger. And they said, "Well, we got rid of old John." Listen, John lives on. And though he is not in this world and all of its trouble, he's at home with the Lord. And all is well with Brother John. But what I'm saying, even in that prison, Jesus, as John sent his disciples and they came to Jesus, Jesus told those disciples, "You go tell John again these things, that the blind see and the deaf hear and the lame leap." And then he said, "And the poor have the gospel preached to them." You realize what that means tonight? You know, a lot of people gathering together hoping to see some great miracle. I'm telling you, every time you meet in a place like this, in a place where the gospel is being preached and declared, and you're able to sit there and feed from God's word, from His Bible, and you're able to get nourishment, and it seems like little areas of your life that you know the preacher didn't have a clue about, the Bible opens up and gives you information about that. It'll tell you about what's going on. It'll tell you about what's coming. It'll tell you about what you can. It'll explain some of the things that we see in this world and go like, "I just don't know what's happening here." And when you come to God's word, it's like a lamp. It's like you being in a dark room in this old world and somebody cuts a light on. It's a lamp unto my feet. And you know, we need to walk, don't we? I need some light to walk. And a light unto my path. Isn't it wonderful when you're in a dark place and you can't see the way and somebody turns a light on, you go, "I see the path." And if we're going to be in a straight and narrow path, we better be able to see it. We better see which way. And how do we do that? Well, you don't get conformed to this world. You get your mind transformed. You get your mind renewed. Being transformed by the renewing of your mind. How do you get your mind renewed? You get in this book. And you read what's here, and as you apply what's here, it transforms your mind so that you're better able to see and know what you need and how you ought to live. Here was a little sister that had a great need. Jesus is on the way to heal, and he knew exactly what he was going to do. The ruler of the synagogue, Jairus, had come. And had asked him to come, and even now the daughter that he was going to heal is dead, and they said there's no need to go. Oh yes, there is, because listen, this doctor doesn't just deal with the living. He's the one, you know, he's the one that can raise the dead. That's the kind of physician I like, isn't it? I like physicians who know how to help you. But if you were dead, you call a doctor and say, "Oh, I'm dead. I need help." But he can't help you if you're dead. First of all, you won't call him if you're dead. Somebody will call for you, and he you won't be asking him for help because you're dead. Listen, you're dead. If you're dead, you're dead. The only one that can help the dead is the great physician who is able to speak. And Lazarus came forth, who was able to raise this little daughter and give it back to this ruler of the synagogue. Only the Lord can do that. This little woman, she was a troubled little sister. It says here in these verses, "And behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, 'If I may touch his garment, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole.' But Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, 'Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole.' And the woman was made whole from that hour." Those three short verses tell us so very much. But I'm glad the Lord gave us some more, aren't you? I'm glad he gave us a little more information. Now, if he had given us that, that's all we would have needed. And sometimes I'm reading a passage and I go like, oh, I wish the Lord had given me a little more. But see, if he gave me just that, that would have been enough. That's all I needed to know. But when he gives you more, then, oh, it's time to dig. It's time for us to look at that. And let's see what else he's taught us about this little sister. First of all, the verse, if you go to Mark chapter 5, you'll see the same account given from the perspective of another brother, Brother Mark, as he wrote and penned this down. Now remember, we're not getting two views of something that maybe one is accurate and one is not. You're just getting a better, clearer picture because both of them, because he were inspired of God, are accurate accounts. We're getting to see a little more, a little fuller picture that the Lord would have us to know about this account. And it says, and a certain woman. That word is important because he wasn't just any woman. Matthew said she was behold, a woman. And he said, and behold, that word behold you won't find in the other accounts. But behold means it's something to look at. You know, if I said behold, that means you need to stop. You know, it's time to stop and look at this. It's behold it. I mean, I want you, and behold. He could have just said and. But he said, and behold, he said, look and see. As he was going on his way, behold, this took place. In other words, look and see what took place. And then he says, a certain woman. I'll tell you, this little woman, I think Jesus knew before the very foundation of the world. I believe the Bible says, and you hath he quickened who were dead in sins. And those people that he talked about in that regard were those, according to Ephesians 1, that were chosen in him even before the very foundation of the world, that he had a love for, that he came into this world for, that he came to die for. And this little sister had had a problem for 12 years. Don't think for a minute the Lord didn't know every year that she had had the problem, every day of the year that she'd had the problem, every doctor that she'd been to, every amount of money, all her living that had been spent. The Lord knew every single solitary thing about her life. And this certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years. That's issue of blood 12 years. What does that mean? You read over in Leviticus 15, I encourage you to do that. It won't take the time tonight. But you read over there under the account of the law, what that really meant to a person in their life, to a woman, even to a man, if they had an issue of blood. They were ceremonially unclean. It means they were not able to worship as everyone else was able to worship. It also means they were not able to touch anyone who was going to worship. They were not able to sit in certain places. If you sat where someone was unclean, or they touched, or you touched them, or you had communication with them, then you were considered ceremonially unclean. And that uncleanness was not only just something that was a physical disease, which it was a disease, because we read in Matthew's account, it says this woman was diseased with an issue of blood. It wasn't a natural thing. It was a disease that she had in her body. And she had this issue of blood that kept her not only physically, you can imagine how that drained her. You know, if you've got a bleed going on anywhere in your body, you're physically weak. You're weakened from that even in itself. Not only had she had that for a day or a month, but she'd had it not only a year, but for 12 years she had endured that. 12 years. Not only that, but that affected every area of her life. It affected her family relationships. It affected her spiritual and her worship relationships. It affected everything, so much so that the most important thing in her life at this point, because she spent all her living to get better, was to get over this disease. She went to everyone that she possibly could think about or possibly help her, and they all had found her case to be beyond anything they could cure. She was in an uncurable situation as far as men was concerned. We read this in Luke, and we go on in Matthew and Mark, and we go on reading it here in Mark 5. He says, and a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years. Listen, here's how the scripture talked about these physicians and had suffered many things of many physicians. You know, there are people who have suffered some things from physicians. And sometimes maybe because the physicians weren't good physicians. Sometimes because the physicians didn't have the want to help them. Sometimes the physicians didn't have the willingness to hang in there and help them. Sometimes they just simply cannot help you. You know, sometimes we get mad at the doctor because he doesn't help us. Well, he may be doing the very best he can, the very best he knows. As a matter of fact, I kind of give him the benefit of the doubt. I believe most doctors don't go into it's like teachers. I don't believe they go into the occupation of teaching to try to make kids stupid. I believe they're trying to do the best they can. Sometimes they're successful. Sometimes they might not be as good as, but I don't think their intent is to go in and not do the job. Now, just as I've said that, you know, we sometimes might wonder about that. Listen, doctors, I don't believe, went into that occupation necessarily not to try to help people. At least that's what we hope, isn't it? It says here that she had suffered many things of not one physician, but many physicians. You go over in Luke's account and we read some more there in Luke chapter 8. And we have, this account gives us six verses. Verse 43 of Luke 8, he says, "And a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians." Now listen, she not only had many physicians, she had spent every single thing she had, all her living. And that's the effect, that was the situation of her life. And she had spent all her living upon physicians, and neither, notice this, and says, neither could be healed of any. It didn't say neither would be healed. They didn't want to. They couldn't. They were not able to help her. She was beyond their help. I hope some of you are going beyond just the natural that I'm talking about tonight and seeing the condition we all are in spiritually that really relates to this. Listen, I was in such a mess, nobody could help me. And by the way, so are you. And so are we. We were not just in a situation where someone could fix us up and reform us. Someone could tell us how to live better, act better, talk better, behave better, and get it all straight. We were not in a place where we could say, okay, I've got some good things in my life, but I got a lot of bad things. Let me just straighten up the bad things and God's going to say, okay, and I'll be able to march right into heaven. Or even that I would be able to call upon Him and look to Him and say, by my own power and my own strength, Lord, I know I made some mistakes, but I fixed all that now. I got it all straightened up. And now I'm able to have good communication with You, Lord. I'm praying like I ought to. I'm acting like I ought to. I'm behaving like I ought to. And I'm doing everything that I ought to. And now it's I'm okay to be accepted with You. Listen, we were beyond any help of our own power. And by the way, there was no preacher that could help us. There was no mama praying that could help us. There was no daddy praying that could help us. There was no Sunday school teacher that could reach us. There was no one, even if they wanted to and desired to and had all of the efforts on their part, we could spend all of our living, our whole effort, all of our works, which by the way, your works and my works are but as what? According to the Scripture. If I go to the Lord and say, Lord, I've done this, I've done that, and I've done some other thing like the Pharisee said when he prayed, we come away with what Isaiah said, our righteousnesses are but as filthy rags. I heard a preacher say it real in a real nice way one time, if I described to you what those filthy rags really, really were, then I'd be painting a pretty obscene picture. And if you study that a little bit in the Old Testament, you'll see those filthy rags, they are the things that we throw in the garbage bin and burn and destroy. This little sister had an issue, don't you think? I mean, not just an issue as an issue of blood, but her whole life she was laboring and heavy laden. It says in Luke 8 and 43, the woman having an issue of blood 12 years had spent all her living upon physicians, and neither could be healed of any, came behind Him. Here's Jesus walking along. And this little sister, now remember this, anyone she touches becomes unclean. I mean, the Bible says that. I don't say that. That's not my words. That's Leviticus. Under the law, anyone she touches would become unclean, according to the law. But I'm telling you, that's not what happened when she touched this one, because he wasn't just like anyone else. This one, rather than him becoming unclean, he who was holy and completely clean from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet, he who was the Son of God, who was the Son of Man, who was coming to die for her, when she reached out and touched his garment, the power of the Lord, the virtue, he said, I perceive virtue flowed out of me. That power of God that would not allow her uncleanness to come on him. Listen, he took on her sins at Calvary that she might be cleansed. And she was made whole from the very moment she touched him. I ask you, what reason does it give you, would it give you, if you've been to every doctor, the very best you know, and you've spent everything you've got to try to get better, and every one of them said, you're not going to get better, there's nothing I can do for you, wouldn't you just be like, I'm going to give up, I'm just, let me die, let me just end it? We can get discouraged right now. We can get discouraged when we hear, you know, I got a foot hurting and I want to get it better. I get discouraged if I go to one doctor and they don't give me the answer. I can get discouraged. If I've been to every doctor and spent everything I had, given my house and my home and everything I've ever accumulated, and I wasn't any better, I would be in a place of despair. And I'll tell you, the little sinner that really comes to see his condition before God as a sinner and has tried to do everything he knew to get it right, and rather than getting it right, feels that I'm worse than I ever have been. Have you been there? You know, I remember as a 9-year-old boy walking down an aisle to shake a preacher's hand, and I thought, if I can just get saved today, I'll have it all fixed and I'll be straight. And the preacher had told me, if you'll just accept the Lord, you come on up and you shake the preacher's hand, you'll accept the Lord. And you do that, and you just love Jesus enough. And if you love him enough, he died for you and he wants you to be his. And if you'll just do that, then you'll have that security. And I walked that aisle and I shook that preacher's hand and I thought, oh, I'm feeling better now. And it wasn't 2 minutes, I'd gone out the door and told another little lie like I did before I walked in. And I said, all I did when I walked the aisle was lie to those people. And I'm going to hell. And there's no hope for me. So I tried other physicians. I tried to act better. Get up one morning, you know, have you ever done that? I'm just going to talk. I'm going to do better. I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to just fix myself. Try that. I'm going to be better. Listen, I'm telling you, you and I can't do a thing without the grace of God. Now, by His grace, we can do better. I don't want you to think, I want you to see here tonight that you have to be that ornery, hard-headed person that sometimes we are. We don't have to be unkind as we are sometimes. We don't have to be as hard-headed as we are sometimes. We can't blame God for that. He didn't make us that way. I'm telling you, in the Lord we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, which means we can put on His armor and we can battle in this world in a way that's pleasing to Him. But I'm saying to you, without the Lord, I'll be no better today than I was yesterday. If it's by my power and by my might, I can't stand before Goliath. I'll fall. But if the Lord will be with me, then I can be what He would have me to be. This little sister was given something special. Listen, logic, science, reason would have said, give up. What can this Jesus do for you? This Jesus of Nazarene, what good thing comes out of Nazareth anyway? He's a carpenter's son. Who trained him? Is he a medical doctor? Where is his training from? Who is this man that was, even his birth was such that nobody would have regarded. The Jews had a problem with him being the Messiah because they were anticipating one to come and the pomp and the ceremony of a king. And he came as the humble Lamb of God, and he was walking in humility, and he was there among the common people. I'll tell you what, when he got around the religious and high-minded, he cut them to the quick. It was those poor and needy that he was walking among. And there he was. This little sister said, if I can, oh, he's my answer. How do you suppose she knew that? You know, I didn't see Jesus die on the cross, but I believe he did. How do I believe it? I don't know my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I've never looked in it, but I sure believe it is. And I hope and pray it is. And sometimes I feel almost like I can see it. When I get to feeling his closeness with me, how would a God who's loved me so much and been so good to me not take care of me? Why would he have loved such an old worm as me? Why would he have delivered me from so much? Why would he have blessed me with such joy and rest and peace in this world and then eternally cast me away? How would I not be able to trust him who's helped me so many times? Listen, I've been in some trouble with my family and my home so much. When I get in trouble now, I have learned of necessity. It's time to get on our knees and pray. You see, I don't believe prayer is a waste of time. You know what? I don't believe y'all do either. I don't think you believe it's a waste of time. I don't believe. If you'd have thought it was a waste of time, you certainly wouldn't be here tonight listening to some old brother that's telling you it's not a waste of time. You wouldn't have 2 minutes worth of time for that. You wouldn't believe the accounts of this book. You would not believe that there was a little sister who had an issue of blood for 12 years and had spent all her living who just simply reached out and touched the hem of a man. Listen, if Jesus is not the Son of God, then he was just a man. He was just a man like any other man. I'm telling you, he wasn't just a man. He was the Son of God, and the very fact that he knew where she was and what she was going to do, and when she reached out and touched the hem of her garment, listen, it didn't get a little better. It didn't get just some better. She didn't just improve. She was healed. He didn't try to heal her. He's never tried to do anything. He healed her. And virtue flowed out of him. But he'd worked a long time before she ever got to him. Because she knew something about him that others didn't know. There were those who thought he was a magician or some trickery or something was going on. There were those who said he was doing this by the power of the devil. There are those who mocked him and ridiculed him and said that it really wasn't something happening. There were those who would find those who he healed and question them and inquire on them and try to get them to change their account so that he wouldn't get the honor and the glory and the praise that actually belonged to him. But this little sister saw him as listen, I've been to every doctor. This wasn't an act of despair. This was an act of faith. Somebody said, well, she was just taking the last option available to her. Brethren, I don't believe that for 1 minute. I believe she said, I know if I can just touch the hem of his garment. Over in the book of Numbers, we read an account in the book of Numbers. In chapter 15, in verse 37. It says, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and bid them that they make them fringes in the borders of their garments throughout their generations. And that they put upon the fringe of the borders a ribbon of blue, a hem on a garment. Who was this for? It says, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel. It wasn't for everybody. It was for the Jewish people. It was for the children of Israel. And you know, Jesus was a son of David. And Jesus kept the law. He didn't just keep part of the law. He kept all of the law. He kept the Old Testament law. He kept the spirit of the law. He kept the letter of the law. He kept the law to a jot and to a tittle. They were to wear these garments, and on the garment they were to wear they were to have a hem on the garment. That was the hem. She said, if I can just reach out and touch the hem of his garment. It wasn't just a hem like we think of a hem, but there was a fringe that was there on the border and a ribbon of blue. And remember over in Matthew 23 where the Pharisees were charged with making broad the hem of their garment because they wanted to appear to be very, very religious. See, Jesus kept this just the way it was supposed to be kept. I love what it says here. I don't even know I know all of it. Let me say this. I know absolutely I don't know all about it. But what a little I can see in it, I just had to read it tonight. I don't know how much I'll even comment on it. It's getting bigger. Listen, the only one who ever wore this garment right was the one who had it on that day when that little sister reached out and touched it. Everybody else tried to do the best they could, if they tried at all. But Jesus fulfilled it. It says, and it should, listen, there's a reason it should be there. Here's what it is. Moses commanded this. This is the law of Moses. You know who kept the law of Moses perfectly? Jesus. To a jot and to a tittle. And this part he kept perfectly. It says, and it shall be unto you for friends, that ye may look upon it and remember all the commandments of the Lord and do them. And that ye seek not only after your own heart and your own eyes, after which you used to go a-whoring, that ye may remember and do all my commandments and be holy unto your God. I am the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt to be your God. I am the Lord your God. Everybody else who ever wore one of these did what it said, but never completely. Because sin is mixed in all that you do. Jesus wore it, and it was just like it was supposed to be. As a matter of fact, what's pictured in it is Him. The only one who's ever walked holy and righteous before God in every single solitary way. She came behind him. You know why she came behind him? Because she was ashamed to come to his face. She was ashamed. She said, oh, listen, I'm not worthy to come to his face, but if I can just reach it. And she was trying to hide too. She wasn't trying to make an open show. She was trying to hide. Even after she was healed, she came behind him and touched the border of his garment. And the reason she did that, we read back over in Mark, and Mark's account is a real full account. He says here, by the grace of God, and she had suffered many things. Verse 26 of Mark chapter 5, it says, and she had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and she was not any better, but she got worse. Can I say to you, if we try to go to the religions of this world to get better, if we try to go do something by our actions, by our behaviors to get better, if we try to go to the philosophy of this world, try to go to the humanists of this world and say, I just need to... Listen, if you have an emptiness in you, there's only and a need in you, and you see yourself as a sinner lost before a God that would rightly cast you away from Him because of your sin and your transgressions, there's only one that can answer your need. And His name is Jesus. The same one that this little sister reached out and touched His garment. When she heard, look, get this. She didn't get better, she got worse. You go to the religions and the ideas and the thoughts of this world, so many say, come over here, you'll get better. Boy, I found it. You come over here, you'll get better. Listen, little child of grace, what's good for the world will make you sick. And what will make you wealthy will make the world hates. What will make you at peace and rest, the joy you feel, the love you have for it. The world despises the things that the Lord has for His children, but God's little children need it. We need it in every way. When she had heard of Jesus, aren't you glad there's somebody been preaching Jesus? Aren't you glad there's a Bible that talks about Jesus? Oh, I love the message of creation. I mentioned that today. I love to hear the birds sing. I can hear the Lord when I hear the birds sing. I can see the Lord when I see the mountains and the valleys and the creation of God. When I see the work of His fingers, those stars at night, and you see the beauty of Almighty God every day, utter speech and glory and honor and praise to the Lord. But I'll tell you, that sound of the gospel that's gone forth into this world, the precious name of Jesus, how sweet the name of Jesus sounds on a believer's ear. It soothes his sorrows, heals his wounds, and drives away his fear. This little sister said when she had heard of Jesus, what does that mean? means God gave her an ear to hear. Listen, some people heard of Jesus and hated him. But if you heard of Jesus and loved him, if there was something, is there something special in that name? Does that name Jesus, which means Savior, mean something special? Does the name Christ, which means anointed of God, mean something special? If that's the case with you, it's because God's given you an ear to hear it, an eye to see it, a heart to understand it, which is of necessity. He has given you life. And that life that's in you is eternal life. When she heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind and touched his garment. Over again in Matthew, it says, when it talks about that, she touched the hem of his garment. When she had heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said this, "If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole." This is her faith. And where did her faith, where does faith come from? Is that something a man can teach you? By the way, the world would have, a man would have taught her this. There's no cure for you. She had tried it all. But the Lord told her, if I can just get to him and I can just touch the hem of his garment. Somebody said, well, isn't that an action on her part? Yes, it's an action. But who gave her the will to do the action? Who gave her the desire to get to him? Who gave her the life to, when she heard the name of Jesus, it meant something to her? And by the way, as a lost sinner, you would have never even believed you were a lost sinner unless the Lord had opened your heart to that and allowed you to see it. Jesus said, "No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I'll raise him up at the last day." He said, "No man can come to the Father but by the Son." And the only one that can come to the Son are those who are drawn of the Father. And he said, "And I will raise him up again at the last day. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and he that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out." When she heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway, the fountain of her blood was dried up. Listen, the fountain is the source. He didn't just fix the symptom. You know, doctors sometimes just give you something for the symptoms. They don't fix the problem. They just say, well, we can't fix the problem, but here, this ought to help you get over it a little bit better. Jesus is not that kind of physician. He went right to the source and dried up. The fountain of her blood was dried up. And straightway, and she felt, get this, she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. She had an understanding that I'm healed. Just think about the time as a sinner you felt first that maybe, possibly, the blood of Jesus was a sufficient supply for my sins. That I've sinned and come short. The hymn writer said, "Can thou save an old sinner like me?" Jesus said, "I came not to save the righteous, but sinners." And if you see that, you are that. And you called. He said, "Come unto me." Listen, this doesn't make you a child of God. Remember, if you're a child, you were loved in covenant even before the foundation of the world. But when the Lord allows you by His grace to see your great need of Him, as you come to Him, what peace and rest and joy you find. In other words, stop spending all our time at all the positions of this world when we come to the great position. It says, and Jesus immediately, get this, knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, "Who touched my clothes?" Now, somebody might say, well, Jesus didn't know really who touched him. Listen, he turned around according to the scripture and his eyes landed right on her. He turned to see her that had touched him. You know why he turned? Because he knew where she was. And you know what he turned to see? Her, that it touched him. It wasn't a doubt. He knew on the way there. He knew before he ever came into this world. Aren't you glad to believe in a God who doesn't have anything? Listen, he knows what I'm going through right now. He knows what I'm going to face tomorrow. He knows what troubles await me as well as what blessings await me. There is nothing outside of his power. And if he loved me with an everlasting eternal love, why am I not going in peace and resting and trusting in the Lord? That's where we should be. That's why this is written for us. It says, and Jesus, immediately knowing himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, you know, they were such patient characters. They remind me so much of us. He says, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? Oh, Lord, how would you possibly know who touched you? Listen, there's a crowd around you. There's this crowd. Everybody's touching you, Lord. You know, listen, not everybody touched him the way this little sister touched him. Now, she had a great need, and she touched him out of that need. And he knew when she was coming. He knew when it happened. And virtue, listen, it wasn't. He said, our faith made thee whole. The object of her faith is what made her whole. He's the one who made her whole. Faith was that wonderful blessing the Lord gave her and allowed her to see what the Lord had done by faith, to understand what had happened. Jesus, immediately knowing himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. Now, why did he look round about? Because he wanted to see her that had done this thing. This wasn't for him. This is for her. There's a blessing to confess what he's done for you. Remember that the wild Gadarene that was running a naked among the tombs, living with his buddy there, and the Jesus came on the scene, and he being filled with a legion of demons, and the Lord cast those demons into the swine. And then when he was finally finished with him, here was that man seated and in his right mind, sitting at the feet of Jesus. And you remember what Jesus said, you go home and tell your friends what great things, how great things the Lord has done for you. I've always thought about what friends would that dude have? I'm telling you, he lived his whole life among the tombs naked. You got a friend like that? Living up here in the cemetery, running around naked and terrorizing everybody who came? That's what he had done. Why? Because he was possessed with devils. His life was in ruin. Listen, your and my life was in ruin. We would have had no friends. Not real friends. We might have had friends like he had running around in the tombs with us. What kind of life is that? But he's going to call us out of that. And he said, now you go home and tell your friends. See, this little sister had this healing done in her, but she wanted to hide. Have you seen God's children sometimes who've had amazing things happen in their life, but they don't really want to tell anybody because, you know, what is my account? Listen, your account's just as important and needed as her account. And if you don't tell it, Jesus will call you out. See, she was going to slip out of this thing. He looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, why? Knowing what was done in her. Listen, she was overwhelmed with the work of Almighty God. You ever been there? I've sat in meetings sometimes and the preacher preached to me so directly, I got shaking just thinking, how in the world does he know all that? And I don't mean in a fear, I mean in a thankful way. I don't mean in like he pointed out something that I didn't want anybody to know. It's like he spoke the things from God's word that I needed to hear, and he spoke directly to me, and I felt it in my heart. It wasn't just a general call that went on somebody's ear. It was specifically to this old sinner, and I felt like the message was there for me. And though he doesn't know me, he spoke just like he did. Listen, most of the time when the preacher's like that, he doesn't have a clue he's even talking to you. I've had good little brothers and sisters come to me after a sermon and say, well, I didn't mean to do that. I wish you hadn't pointed that out like that. And I didn't even have a clue I was even talking about them. I didn't even know they needed it. I said, well, you know, I really didn't do that on purpose. I didn't know it was even, it's not specifically. Y'all have had that happen, haven't you? Have you been in a meeting where the preacher just, and it isn't always the one you think it's going to happen with. You get a preacher in the stand and maybe one you say, well, sure, he's a little boring. I hope he gets through that pretty quick. And the next thing you know, he's hit you. Listen, the Lord uses, he doesn't let men honor, get honor and glory in themselves. He uses those things that seem to be the weak. It's the weak and the things that give him honor and glory. You know, it's not the the things men would think would be used. The Lord speaks even in a still, small voice in your heart. He looked round and about to see her that had done this thing, but the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him. Listen, what you don't want to miss what Luke tells us about this, though, because we get Luke tells us. Jesus said, verse 46, "Somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me." Before that, Jesus said, "Who touched me?" When all denied, listen, everybody said, "I didn't touch you." When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, "Master, the multitude throng thee and press thee, and sayest thou, who touched me?" And Jesus said, "Somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me." And get this, "And when the woman saw that she was not hid." You've been in a congregation and found out, "Hey, I'm not hid. I thought I could hide it today. I thought I could act like this didn't bother me. I could act like this didn't affect me. I'm telling you, when we meet in a meeting like this, it isn't just a group of us gathering together. We have the presence of God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. And when this Bible is open and the Lord blesses us with the presence of the Holy Spirit, the Word goes forth with power. And it's like the dynamite of God. The gospel, the Apostle Paul said that he was not ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God and salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. This isn't how I'm going to get saved for heaven and immortal glory, but I'll tell you, it's how a lot of timely deliverance takes place in this world. I've seen some people come in angry and get happy and get broken under the sound of the gospel. I've seen people come in okay and get angry under the sound of the gospel. I've seen folks get cut to the heart. I've seen some get pricked to the heart. There's a difference. But the gospel has an effect on you. It'll either make you happy or make you real mad. I hope it makes you happy. It can comfort you. It can cause you to weep and cause you to laugh, and sometimes do both at the same time. You're weeping because of your sins, but so thankful that you have a Savior who loved you enough that He died for a sinner like you. Oh, I'm not thankful I had that issue of blood, and I'm not thankful for my sins that I've had in my life, but I'm so thankful there was a Savior that is able to do above anything I could ask or think in saving me from my sins. When the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling and falling down before him and declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him and how she was healed immediately. Let me tell you, she got another release. Not only a physical release of being relieved of that plague, but with her mouth she made confession unto the Lord, and I'll tell you, she had some peace. And I'll close with this because I know time is gone. And he said unto her, "Daughter," oh, what a beautiful word. Can you hear the Lord tonight speaking unto you, son? By the way, son and daughter is the sound of the Father. You know why? Because Jesus is one with the Father. We see part of it. We see the working of the Trinity here. He said unto her, "Daughter, be of good comfort." Is that the message of the gospel? Why? Because I've healed you. Be of good comfort. Get this. "Thy faith hath made thee whole." Where did her faith come from? It came from the Lord. And as she walked on that faith, she was made whole. She enjoyed that abundant life that's here for you in this world. And then he says, "Go in peace." And though it's not written in Luke, we do have it in Mark 5. It says, "And be whole of thy plague." In other words, listen, she was already whole of it. Don't go picking it up again. You ever got something feeling better and you think, "Oh, I wonder if it's coming back." That's usually what happens with me. I have a pain or something, it'll go away and I'll say, "Oh, it's gone. Whew. I sure hope that don't come back." God's little children are like that sometimes with their sin. I feel clean, but then I get burdened with it again. Remember the words of Jesus. "Be whole of thy plague. Be reconciled to God. He hath reconciled you unto himself." I appreciate your kind attention. When you have a mind to pray, remember me, and God bless you.